Let's take our Bibles. We're going to go to the book of Genesis this morning, and we're going to talk about a subject that is very necessary in the life of a believer if you're going to say it is better farther on, if you're going to be able to pick up one foot and put it in front of the other. If you are overjoyed, it's more than likely because of this principle. And the progress that you've made in your life has been because of this truth. Genesis chapter 20. I love God because he's not me. He's a whole lot better than me. He's a whole lot bigger than me. And he does amazing things. The Bible records some of these amazing things in Genesis chapter 1. He says in verse 20, and God said, you know, God can do whatever he wants just by saying it. His word is powerful. And this is what he said. He said, let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that hath life, and fowls that may fly above the earth in the open firmament of heaven. And God created great whales and every living creature that moveth, which the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind, and every winged fowl after his kind. And God saw that it was good. We're going to look at several scriptures, but hang on to Genesis chapter 1 for a moment and notice the word used in verse 20 and in verse 21. It says, the waters brought forth abundantly. Abundantly. Something that is abundant is overflowing, full, rich. It actually comes from something. I don't know how in the world it got there, but it's talking about overflowing water. In fact, the word abound is its origin. It's something that goes beyond the banks, something that's like the Maumee River. It's overflowing right now. It's because of all the rain, but it is the idea of having more than enough. More than enough. Feeling overwhelmed. Abounding. Notice in verse number 20, you have the moving creature and the fowl. You have in verse 21, the great whale. And in the water, of course, you have every kind of fish, all the creatures. As they say, there are 90 species of whales in the world. That's a lot. But when it comes to fish, that includes sharks and other, you know, crazy things like that. 34,000 different species of fish. God's a big God. When he does something, he does it big. Why? Because he has so much, it just naturally comes out of him. So when he said, let the waters bring forth abundantly, God's the one that came up with the water, and then the water brings forth this abundance. Why? Because God is huge, and he's powerful, and he has life in him, and he shares that life. They say they're discovering 250 new species of fish every year. That's a lot of different fish. I know about 10 different kinds of fish. There's a lot of fish. The best fish, of course, is walleye. Amen? If you haven't had it, then you need to have it. You'll agree with me. Birds, it says the fowls of the air. They say for a long time, there was about 16,000 different types of birds, and then because people did not know, or those ornithologists, I don't know if they were or not, but they didn't recognize that this bird looked like that bird. It wasn't the same bird. It was actually a different bird. So now they say there's 18,000 different kinds of birds, and I don't hardly know any birds. I know one or two or three, but that's our God. When he does something, he does it big. And you know what he did? He created the waters. He created the waters, and the waters then brought forth these animals. Our bathtub, and probably your bathtub, standard bathtub, they say, holds about 42 gallons of water. And it takes a long time to fill it up, right? But you think about that. It's a lot of water. But if you think about the great lake that we live on, Lake Erie, they say in the water, I don't know how they measure it, but they've got people out there on this that are doing this kind of stuff. And they measured it, and they said it's 115 cubic miles of water. That's a mile each direction. That's amazing. 115 cubic, which equals out to 127.6 trillion gallons of water. That's a lot of water. But then if you think about Lake Superior, we got 115 cubic miles of water in Lake Erie. But Lake Superior, they said it has 2,900 cubic miles. This thing at its deepest point is so deep, you could put the Empire State Building in it and it would not be seen at the top. 133 feet, something like that. That's a lot of water. And that is three quadrillion gallons of water in Lake Superior. Now we're talking about an unbelievable amount of water. That's because it was created by a really large God. Big, like huge. Then you take the Great Lakes, and by the way, Lake Superior, that's over 50% of the Great Lakes, the water in just one lake alone. And I'm just amazed by this. Sometimes I need some things to help me understand the difference or the contrast, the size of it. They say if you wanted to raise Lake Superior by 1 inch, you'd have to put in 500 billion gallons of water, and it would go up by 1 inch. And then if you wanted to drain it, if you want to drain Lake Superior, you'd have to stop all the inlets because you can't have water coming in if you're trying to drain it. Come on, people, stay with me. So you stop all the rivers and the creeks, right? And if you were to pull the plug on the other side, let it keep going out. Well, I don't have to pull the plug. It still is draining out. All those rivers coming out of Lake Superior. If you were able to drain it and keep all the water from going in, it would take 173 years to drain all the water at the rate that it comes out. That is just an amazing amount of water. And then if you add the Great Lakes together, you've got 5,500 cubic miles, a mile out, up, and over, 5,500 cubic miles of water, which is 6 quadrillion gallons of water. Are you staying with me? Some of you are saying, I'm still back at the tub at 42 gallons. Come on, let's keep moving. Why? Because what's next? How about the water in the ocean? The water in the ocean. I got to look at my notes for that one. I don't think I wrote it down. I believe it's 120 quadrillion gallons of water. Now, we have 20% of the fresh water in the Great Lakes, and that takes care of 40 million people. So don't throw your trash in there, people. Trying to drink out of that thing. Man, bad enough here in you know, we got algae and all kinds of stuff floating around in Lake Erie. I'm just glad I'm not from Flint. Amen. But I'm sorry if you're from Flint. That was a joke. It was a joke. All right. So this is a lot of water. Why am I saying this? Because look at Genesis chapter 1 again. Let the waters bring forth abundantly. God is an abundant creator. He's infinite. He is more than enough. God is more than enough. His abundance is so great that he has designed his abundance to continue multiplying, to move forward. Look at chapter 1, verse 22. And God blessed them. Who's the them? Oh, the whales and the fish, the creatures. God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply and fill the waters in the seas and let fowl multiply in the earth. You see, God is an abundant God. Abundance started with him, and it's designed to be passed on. The water had so much that it had enough to bring forth abundantly. The fish and the birds had enough and more than enough so that they could pass it on abundantly. It is a sign of God's abundance that you have more than enough to give away. Notice it said God blessed them and said, be fruitful. It is an acknowledgement, it is an awareness of the blessing of God that allows me to give out. Now, he designed his abundance. If you would look at chapter 1, verse 28. This is now moving on to Adam and Eve, man and woman. God designed his abundance to fill the world with people. God blessed them and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it. You see, God uses people in chapter 1, verses 20 to 22. He uses animals to show how good of a God he is. He gives so much that we can enjoy and still have enough to give out. When I think about human beings multiplying, it's of course, your mind is drawn to mothers. Now, for some that are not aware of this, females are designed to give birth. Males can't do it. It's impossible. Let me say it again, because it's weird, getting weird nowadays. Women can give birth, and men cannot give birth. Can some of you imagine someone saying this from a pulpit 50 years ago? That would be like, yeah, we know. Today, people don't know. You got to tell them. Men can't be women. Women can't be men. You say, well, I feel that. You feel a lot of stuff. You got to go back and look at the directions from the manufacturer. He said, men are men. God created male and female. I'm not trying to be mean to you. I'm trying to help you. You got to recognize God created man. God created woman. They're two different beings, though he made both of them. And the Bible tells us he made the woman out of the man. Why? I don't know. Some people said version 1 wasn't that great. He made version 2, 2.0, right? Either way, God made them both. And God knows that there's a difference. And it's difficult. Now, here's the difficult thing. Because the devil wants to come along and say, God messed up. He always says that. He says, what you feel like you are is not what God intended. God intended something that's hurtful to you. God intended to hold you back. He's been saying this since the beginning. God has an inside track. It's something that he wants, and it's not the best for you. God's trying to hurt you. God's holding out on you. You need to determine what's best. Let me say up front, the devil's a liar. He's going to lie to you, and he's going to keep you from the only being in the universe that can bring you satisfaction, and that is God himself. And so we understand that God created these things, and God said, I want you to get together, and I want you to multiply. And that's what mothers do. Mothers are wonderful, aren't they? Sometimes mothers can be wonderful. Amen? There we go. I know she's sitting right next to you. You can at least say something. Mothers are wonderful. Mothers are designed by God to take what they have received and to amplify that and then to sustain that child until that child can sustain itself. They take the seed and they form a human in 9 months. That is a miracle, my friends. There was not an eternal soul, and then now there is an eternal soul. It's a miracle. It's a miracle. And that's why it's a miracle of God. God's the one that creates life. And that's why it's so dangerous to take that life and to snuff it out. Right? We need to be in prayer. We need to continue supporting everything we can to overturn abortion. You say you shouldn't get political. How can you not get political when it has to do with the very foundation of humanity, which is life? It comes from God. God gives life. And you say, well, what about rape and what about incest and all those things? Well, I would say this. The old preacher used to say, two wrongs don't make a right. I'm sorry for the rape. I'm sorry for the incest. It should never have happened. But why take it out on the child? The child never did anything. The child hasn't hurt anyone. It's amazing. People said, don't tell me what I can do with my body. Don't tell me. No man is going to tell me what I can do with my body. And I would say, I understand that. But wait a second, from the other side, how do you know? I thought you couldn't tell the difference between man and woman. It's crazy. It's weird. You know what happens? What happens is the devil comes along and he takes God's idea and he ruins it and he corrupts it. And then he tells you, it's better than it was. But you know in your heart, it's not better. You know that something's missing. You see, God designed life to have more than enough. So much that it could give. So much life. so much fulfillment that it had plenty for itself, himself, herself, and then enough to give away. These children, they come from abundance. And abundance is more than possessions. Abundance is an overflowing mindset. It is a mindset that says, God is more than enough for me. And because he is more than enough for me, I have so much that I want to give some away. I mentioned Adam and Eve, and you can remember the devil tempting Eve and saying, God actually knows that if you eat that fruit, he told you not to eat it, but if you eat it, you'll be as God's, knowing good and evil. There's more that God's not telling you. And God's kind of playing a fast one on you here because he has everything he needs, and he's kind of holding you back from one thing that if you got it, you would be just like him. He tempted them to believe that God was not enough, that there was more beyond what God had told them, that God was being unfair. But this morning, I want to tell you, God is enough, and he's more than enough. He's given us so much, we have more than we need, and God can use us to give it away. Now, I want you to take your Bibles and go to 1 John chapter 2, all the way toward the back of the book, just before Revelation. 1 John chapter 2, and by the way, if you haven't been with us Wednesday night, I'd love to invite you to come to our auditorium class here on Wednesday evenings at 7 o'clock. We're studying through the book of Revelation. 4. 1 John chapter 4, verse number 16. 1 John 4:16, and we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. In order for you to have more than enough, in order for you to have a mindset, a perspective of abundance, you have to know one thing first. You are greatly loved. You're greatly loved by God. Love is not simply something that God does. Love is something that God is. God is love. God is not water. God is not his creation. He's not a whale, although you can see in a whale the majesty of God. God is not a bird, though you can see in God, in a bird, God's creative genius. But when it comes to love, love is not simply something that God does. Love is who God is. He's made out of the stuff. And he has to love, just like the sun has to shine. You say, well, the sun doesn't always shine. Well, the sun always shines. We don't always see it. God always loves. Why? Because he has to love. He's made of love. The Bible tells us that Jesus, in the last great day of the feast, stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. I want you to see something here in verse number 16, of 1 John chapter 4, verse 16. It says, and we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. In order to have an abundant mindset, a mindset of more than enough, you have to know that you are loved. You can't love someone unless you yourself understand and feel love. That's why it's so important for you to know that God loves you. You say, well, God doesn't love me. If God loved me, he would have done A, B, and C. You know, life gets in the way, doesn't it? Circumstances, challenges. You know, most atheists proclaim atheism because, and this is self-admitted, they will tell you, because of something bad that happened in their life that God could have, should have, would have prevented. If there were a God, he would never have allowed that to happen. You know what happens in our lives? We go through life and we try to get more and we try to get more, but we forget about the fact that God is love and that he loves me. And I stop believing it because of all the junk that happens in the world. You know what he said here? We have known and believed the love that God hath to us. Do you believe that God loves you? I can tell you this. You'll never be able to pass on love. You'll never have a mindset of abundance. You'll never feel that you have more than enough until you recognize that God loves you. But you have to believe that God loves you. You say, how do I believe? How do I believe? I just like... No, that's not believing. That's effort. See, I have to recognize, I have to believe the words of God where God said, He loves me. God is love. We have known and believed, John 3:16, for God so loved the world. I have to believe that. Now, I know He said that, but do I believe it? Christian, listen to me. If you spend your life trying to prove that you love God, and that's your focus, you'll never have enough. You can't manufacture enough energy and action to prove that. Why? God is the one that started out with love. He gave me love. And I have to believe that He loves me. Do you believe that God loves you? And then you have to recognize that God's love is enough. I know God loves me, but I sometimes wonder. I've done bad things, and I wonder if it's enough. How could God forgive someone like me? How could God overlook? I'll tell you this. God doesn't overlook anything. But He loves you. He loves you. Look what it says in 1 John 4:19. We love Him because He first loved us. You have to know that you are loved by God. You have to believe that God loves you. And then you have to remember that God's love is enough. He's the one that started it. We spend our time trying to satisfy ourselves rather than being satisfied by God. No one else can ever love you enough. If you don't understand and appreciate and receive and believe the love of God, there's no person, there's no man, woman, boy, girl, pet, thing, job, possession that can ever love you enough. God's love is enough. It works for every person in every circumstance. What are you most interested in obtaining in this world? You know, it's easy for us to, as Americans, to just buy more stuff or buy more experiences. Thank God for Airbnb. Thank God for all the travel websites where you can get all kinds of good deals. And they constantly tell us that there's a greater, more satisfying, more fulfilling life. Just click here. Buy this. Go there. Eat that. Meet this person. You know what? It's never enough. There's something in our heart. There's a well there because of the Garden of Eden. We see it on full display. God was enough. But God gives mankind a choice. A choice that chooses between whether God is enough or whether I'm going to have to get more for myself. In a perfect environment. I mean, think about where they were. They were in an environment where everyone wants to be. Completely climate controlled. Food was available everywhere that they looked. It was luxuriant. It was verdant. It was glorious. And yet, in the heart, there was something that said, maybe there's more. And that choice is where you lost your abundant mindset. It's when you decided, yeah, God's good, and I'm glad I'm saved, things are going good, but there's something more than God that could satisfy me a little bit more. And Christian, this is the choice we make every day. We're told to deny ourselves and take up our cross and follow Him. Why? Because He's more than enough. He's more than I need. And yet, there's something in me that says, God's good, But sometimes I need something a little bit better. I want you to take your Bibles and go to Titus chapter 3. It's in the middle of the New Testament. It's after the book of Acts, Romans, Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians. Keep going. 1 Thessalonians, 1, 2 Timothy, Titus. Remember, you have to remember that God loves you. That God's love is more than enough. And then you have to remember that God's love is not earned. It's given. He says in Titus chapter 3, verse number 3, "For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving diverse lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another." God said, this is the condition of man without me. This is what happens to men when they do what they want. When they push me away, they end up in verse number 3. "But after that, the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior. That being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Man without God is hateful and hates one another, living in malice and envy. But because of the love of God, which he has more than enough of, he pours it out on mankind, and we receive it, we're justified by his grace." Here's the hardest thing to get over with religion. I raised in church. I went confirmed. I've been baptized. All this stuff. Those are not horrible things. The problem is, if you're trusting those things to get you to heaven, then you can never trust on the grace and mercy of God, which he sheds out. Not because of what you do to earn his love. Listen, you can't be good enough to be a Christian. You can't be, well, what do you want me to do then? I want you to stop and recognize that you without Christ are in verse number 3. That's who you and I are. But Jesus Christ gave us salvation as a free gift. You can't work your way up to God. Why would you? He already came down. He came all the way down to where we are today. And he said, "Here's love for you." You know what our problem is? We don't believe it. We don't believe God loves us. Christian, I'm talking to you. You don't believe God loves you. You believe that, yeah, he loved me way back when I got saved and he gave me salvation and he put it in cold storage and kryptonite. There I am. I'm stuck. Not kryptonite, it's the other thing. Thank you. That's where he loves me. But now, you know, sometimes it's hard and I just try to go back to when God loved me. Hey, be careful. Children, close your ears. Idiot. He still loves you today. You didn't somehow impress him by quitting your smoking and quitting your drinking and stop your sleeping around. He didn't say, "Well, look at that. I wonder if I wasted salvation on that boy. He's pretty good." What are you talking about? It took the love of God to get you out of the den and out of the dungeon and out of the pit. And it's going to take the love of God for you to live for him today in 2022. You recognize, I'm not good enough. I don't do what I'm supposed to do. I don't have it. You say, "Well, I'm trying." I am trying. And I try harder than other Christians. I can tell you this from a sincere heart. I pity you. Why? Because I know this. You don't have an abundance mindset. Your mindset is it's never enough. It doesn't matter how many blessings God's given me. I don't have enough. It doesn't matter how many children God's given me. I still have all kinds of angst and anxiety and concern about the future. It doesn't matter how many times God's come through me financially or in my health. Or God has blessed me just seeing a sunset or seeing a rainbow or seeing a flower come up out of the grass. It doesn't matter how many times he blessed me there. There's never enough. Can I tell you why? You're trying to satisfy yourself. You're getting turned aside by the serpent who said, "Yea, hath God said? God doth know you shall not surely die. He's lying to you. He's telling you that God is not enough. Christian, God was enough when you got saved, and God's enough right now. Well, it'll be better when I get that good health report. It'll be better when I can finally get ahead financially, when I can start making some decent money, when I can replace my car, when I can get a new spouse. Oh, no, I didn't say that out loud. When I can get there, God'll be enough. No, no, no. You cannot live an abundant life if God is not enough. I'm here to tell you this morning, God's not only enough, God's more than enough. He's more than enough. Being justified by His grace. You know, mothers, you understand this. Because when your children are born, you realize very quickly that you cannot negotiate with your newborn. They're not interested in deals. That child is interested in getting what he or she wants. That's it. They'll walk away from the table every time. If I don't get what I want, I'm going to make your life a nightmare. And here's the real insidious part of it. Even when they get what they want, they still make your life a nightmare. Why? That's what they do. They're professionals. They're professional humans. They know how to torture you. They know how to... sleep deprivation. Some of these mothers, you need to go in the military. You've already had the training. You're ready to go. He can put you on the front lines. Put some of those, you know, hard-bitten soldiers out of business. You've been through it. Those kids have a way of extracting every happiness from your very soul. And then come back for more. There's nothing left. A mother sacrifices a lot. And the child gives very little. And I don't know. Very few women have I ever heard say, I just love that kid no matter what, every moment of every day. If you're like that, please don't ruin it, because most women that I've met, they love their kids in spite of their kids. And I know there's wonderful days. I know that there's, you know, there's tears of joy and all of that. It's wonderful. But the truth is, mothers do sacrifice a lot. And it reminds me that love is not earned. It is given. Love is not traded. Mother does not trade love with her infant. She gives love to that kid. Not because the kid always makes her happy, but because she has more than enough. In her heart, she finds a desire to keep loving the unlovable. She finds in her heart the ability to continue giving and sacrificing when that child has no gratitude, no awareness of sacrifice. And you know, if you think as an adult that you're going to go back and you're going to somehow make up for that for your mom, I think we should try, but I don't think you can. Why? Love is not traded. Love is given. Your mom didn't do it because she knew someday down the road you were going to become a shining knight. If she was, man, how disappointed is she today? You know what she'd say? You know what a mother would say to a son or daughter who disappointed her? Who brings tears to her eyes? She'd say, I'd do it again in a heartbeat. Because I love that boy. Not because he's worthy, because I love him. You sometimes look at kids and you say, how could you disappoint your parents? How could you do that? How could you take those paths, make those choices? We try to stop you. And sometimes dads say, I'm done with the boy. And sometimes God will use that toughness. It'll help a child. But a mother says, no, can't. I'm never done. I love the unlovable. And mothers, let me tell you, you know where that love came from? You didn't come up with it. You didn't invent love. You found it in your heart one day. There it was. And you were challenged and you were stretched and you were tried and you were tortured sometimes. and you found just enough. And then you found a little bit more. And on some days, it seems that your very heart is overflowing with love. More than enough. More than enough. You know what? God's love is like that. God's love is not traded. You don't earn his love. You don't sacrifice. And I'm sorry, God, I'm sorry. I'll prove to you, God, that your sacrifice is worthy. You cannot make up for the cross. There's nothing you can do to prove that God was right in giving you his very son. All you can do is receive it. You can't make up for it. You can't say, God, I'm sorry, I'll try harder. You just say, God, thank you for your love. You've got so much love. How can you be so loving? That's the miracle of being a Christian, is that God even loves me. And God even loves you. He's got more than enough love. Overflowing. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 is our last place this morning. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. God's love is so great. It's so abundant that it creates in us the desire to love. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse number 9, and he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. This is Paul asking God to remove a very painful circumstance in his life. He said, my strength is made perfect in weakness. God's love, God's grace was enough for Paul. You see, God designed us to receive his love by believing that he loves us. And then to take his love and from the overflow, love others. When you have more than enough, you have a desire to share. You know why some of us are not very sharing or generous? It's because we're greedy. And the reason why you're greedy is you don't think you have enough. But how can someone with very little give? Someone with very little can give because they think, I've got more than enough. And you look at that person and say, how can you say you have more than enough? You don't have hardly anything. I've got more than you, and I don't want to share. It's a mindset. It's a heart's perspective on God. Has God been fair to you? Has God given you enough? All depends on how you think about God, whether or not you're ready to share with somebody else. Look what he says in verse number 14. Behold, the third time I'm ready to come to you. This is Paul talking to the Corinthian church. He said, and I will not be burdensome to you. I'm not coming asking. I seek not yours, but you. For the children ought not to lay up for the parents, but the parents for the children. Paul said, I'm coming to see you guys again. And if you remember 1 Corinthians, the first book that he wrote, the first epistle, he had a lot of stuff that was he had to correct them about. They were not doing so well. And he said, but when I come to see you, I'm not going to lay a bunch of burdens on you. I'm coming to give to you. Why? Because I'm the spiritual father here, and you're the children. That's what it's like when you're a parent. You give. They don't necessarily give, but you give. As a mother, I can imagine that you probably wondered at some point whether or not you loved that child enough to do that. Whether you could handle all that they were requiring of you. But you found, as you loved, your heart expanded to love them more and more and more. The sacrifice was necessary to grow your heart. And that's what love is all about. Love is all about giving, not receiving. Your children taught you to love. They increased your capacity to love. But watch the danger in verse 15. And I will very gladly spend and be spent for you, though the more abundantly I love you, the less I be loved. I don't know where you are with your children this morning, mothers, but it is a principle that loving is giving, not receiving. Loving your children means giving to your children. I would encourage you, mothers, if you want to avoid a major mistake, don't guilt your children into doing things for you. Don't demand that your children prove their love for you. Yes, you should discipline them, and yes, you should guide them and give them instructions and hold them to guidelines and have rules and put them all over the house and in the fridge and under your kid's bed. Right? But you know, your kids never should get the idea that they're going to earn your love. It's a dangerous place. You know what Paul said here? The more abundantly I love you, the less I be loved. That's not for Paul to say, yeah, nobody cares about me, nobody loves me. It's just a fact. You know what I could say, though, about the Apostle Paul? There was a time when he was injurious, he said. When he was a criminal as far as God's court was concerned. And yet the Lord's love reached him, and now Paul is learning how to love, and that love is sacrifice and love is giving. Love is not receiving. You say, well, when do I get what I need? Oh, no, 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 no. You got to go back to point number one. You receive the love of God. You see, God will never run out of love. God will never treat you wrong. He always has more than enough. You say, well, I'm trying to love the right way, but nobody really understands me. They don't understand my love. Or they never tell me that they love me. They never do anything for me. They never, no, 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 you're looking the wrong direction. Turn around and go back to God and listen to His love. And lean on His love. He has more than enough love. The reason why we feel that we are living in a scarcity mindset, when we are feeling like we don't have enough, it's because we're looking the wrong way. We're looking to those that we are loving to fulfill us, and they can never fulfill us. You look to your spouse to make you happy and satisfied. It will never happen. You say, I wish I would have married somebody else. It wouldn't have happened with that person. Another human being cannot possibly give you all the love that you need. You have to go back to the creator of love itself. And that's God. As you're sacrificing and giving, remember this. You'll never love more than you are loved. You will never love anyone else more than you are loved by God. Great love is often unappreciated. And when you share your love, you have to replenish your supply of love. What is your mindset today? Is it an abundant mindset or scarcity mindset? Abundance says, I have more than enough. Scarcity says, there's never enough. Abundance says, life is good. Scarcity says, life is unfair. Abundance says, I'm so happy. Scarcity says, I wish I could just be happy. Are you satisfied or are you discontent? Godliness with contentment is great gain. When you know that God is more than enough, that seeps down into your very heart. And you look at your possessions and you're blessed by them. Instead of wishing you had more. And you look at your children and you're blessed by them and grateful for them. Instead of wishing that you had different ones. And you look at your job, and you look at your car, and you look at your spouse, and you look at your church, and you look everywhere, and you say, thank you, God, for what I have. I've got more than enough. If you feel that you never have enough, it's because you're looking the wrong direction. If you feel that you don't have enough strength to love, you've forgotten how much you are loved by God. You know what? The ladies went recently on their retreat. Their theme verse goes right along with this. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. Nobody else can give you what God can give you. And when God gives it to you, you'll say, thank you, Lord. I've got way more than I need. The God of hope will fill you up. And He can fill you so full that you've got something to give away. Would you bow your head in prayer with me this morning?